Can you sing, can you dance, pull a rabbit from your pants, make a rhyme, tell a joke, burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent, nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick, top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song, it's already too long. Top talent, everybody.
Top talent, this is my podcast, Top Talent.
Welcome, once again, to Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates from the Albany area, which is the capital region of upstate New York. My name is Richie Phillips, and the whole idea of the podcast is I'm trying to search. I go door to door, actually, looking for talent of all kinds. Talent that's either born and raised here, maybe talent that's coming to the area, talent that's left the area, and we have somebody from the middle category, somebody who's coming to the area. I don't even know where he lives. I haven't even talked to him yet. But I happened to stumble upon a Billy Joel tribute show that is coming to the Park Theater in Glens Falls. Probably this is going to air after the fact, but that's okay. This is a podcast. This will be up here for a long time, and I'm sure he's going to be all over the place, so you can still listen to this. His name is John Cozzolino. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Again, I have not talked to him yet. And he does a thing called the River of Dreams Tour. Now, my confusion about this is I'm not sure whether he's also appearing with an Elton John tribute show. And they're doing like their version of Face to Face, you know, when Billy and Elton perform together. I'm a little unclear about that, so I got to clear up a lot of things. But we're going to talk to him about Billy Joel, how he prepares for the show, and we're just going to talk Billy for the most part right here on Top Talent. And here he is, John Cozzolino. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Hey, Richie, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, that was me about 5 minutes ago. All right, here we are, Top Talent, and I've got myself a Top Talent on the line. We've never really even talked before, and I don't even know how to pronounce your last name. I'm going to go with Cozzolino. Is it?
That's perfect.
It works. I think I can handle John. John Cozzolino, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to have you on my little show here.
Nice to be on. Thank you.
People are going to understand, because they see the title of the podcast, that this is something to do with Billy Joel. You do a Billy Joel tribute act, and I actually, well, let me tell you something. This is pretty funny. I just finished doing a Joni Mitchell tribute act for my podcast. I was putting it up online, putting it up on the website, and then I stumbled upon yours, and I'm a fan of Joni Mitchell, but I am a rabid fan of Billy Joel and Elton John because I played a piano. So then I went running over to my computer and wrote all your information down here. How did you get started doing this? How long have you been doing the Billy Joel tribute show?
I think this is our 10th year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for years I was just, you know, I played keyboards for my whole life.
Right.
Started as classical pianist with all the lessons, the usual stuff. And then I started to write songs. Mm-hmm. And found I developed a vocal, you know, a singing voice. And through the years, I've been in several original bands where we just pushed our own music. And it's a hard road to go. You know, for whatever reason, the bands didn't get where I wanted them to be. So, I mean, but I still keep writing, and I have 4 CDs out on the market on whatever internet, Spotify and iTunes and whatever. They're all out there. But I keep writing and recording, but it's not sustainable as far as financially for that many people. For, you know, there's a lot of musicians out there trying to make a living at it.
Yeah.
It is tough. You know what the competition's like.
The game has changed, especially selling, you know, albums and radio airplay,
yeah.
And we can get into that.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's right.
But as far as this Billy Joel thing, I've always been a fan, and I thought he was unique. I'm a little older than you, so I remember when Piano Man came out.
Well, I don't know if you're older than me.
I'm 64.
Well, I'm 68.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'll be 69 in April. So I know Billy Joel from back then as well. Oh, absolutely.
Your voice is just youthful sounding anyway.
That's why I do an audio podcast, so people can't see me.
Yeah, well, in the 60s, or six, what is it, 60s, the new 80 or something? I don't know.
Exactly.
Or 80s, the new 60.
Is the new 60. That's more. But yeah, looking at you from a side view, I've never really actually seen even your face, you know, full on, but it's a striking resemblance. So it's more the fact that you could sing. I mean, you must have known, did you know back then? Wow, I kind of look like Billy Joel too.
No, but that's what people always told me.
Oh,
so
okay.
I said, well, I mean, in the last 10 years or so before that, I didn't look like that before that, but things have developed in you know, in the eye area to where there's a lot of resemblance between me and him.
Right.
I put two and two together, you know, since I'm a singer and a piano player, and you know, in 2012, we put the first 6-piece band together and started to try to get some work, and named it River of Dreams. That was 2012, and you know, some of the guys are different in the band, but basically it's been the same band for the whole time, and I'm just happy to have this talented guys working with me on this project, because it's developed to, you know, where we are today, playing some theaters and casinos and stuff. So I'm kind of going in the direction I tried to get, because it's just like anything else, you have to be a salesman.
Sure.
You know, because there's a lot of competition out there for even for Billy Joel tribute bands, you know. So but I think, see, the thing about tribute is, I think I have a different take on it. I think a tribute should be more of a show, and not just the band that plays a bunch of songs by the artists they love. You know?
Right. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, there's a difference between a tribute show, meaning when I go to see this show, I want you to look, sound, be exactly like him. And then there's like an interpretive type of show, too, where the person doesn't necessarily sound like, or is not trying to do an imitation of the artist, but they're doing the music, right?
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. I wanted to make it visual. I want people to come and say, "Hey, you know, that's just like going to see Billy Joel at the Garden," you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other people, you know, I mean, I guess if you're that big a fan of any band, you'll go see a band play all the all the Eagles hits.
Right, because they like the music.
You know?
Right.
And no one has to look like anybody in the band. But that's not really a show. Well, there's tons of tribute acts out there that don't bother, you know, looking like anybody in the band or making it a real show. I'm pretty sure that's why we can start, you know, we're getting these theater gigs upstate, and some of the casinos hire us frequently. And we can travel a little bit now, because for a couple of years there, we were only in our own backyard, and you know, it just took a while to kick our feet around and get people to notice us. So now we have, you know, at least now we have some venues and agents calling us instead of me begging them.
Well, it's a great format for these places, because they can't get the actual artist. In a lot of cases, the artists, you know, have retired or whatever. But even if they haven't retired, it's a little tough to hire Billy Joel to, you know, to be everywhere. So you can have Billy Joel, and you can have Elton John and all these things. It's a great they said that the tribute acts are making tons of money. It's a big revenue stream. It's one of the biggest revenue streams in entertainment, they were saying online.
Yeah, it's developed the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's developed in its own phenomenon now.
Yeah. Now back to the band. I mean, this is music. You can't mess around. I've been playing piano all my life as well, and I played in piano bars, and I've played Billy Joel songs, and it's tough stuff. I mean, and the band has got to be, to do it right, you've really got to pick the right musicians. And don't you think it starts with a drummer, like a Liberty DeVito type?
That's pretty big component.
Oh,
of
yeah.
What, you know, of Billy's music. You know, the drums, and obviously whoever's on the keyboards has to be top notch.
Well, yeah.
The thing about Billy's songs, like you said, they are, you being a piano player, you know that these are not, you know, 1-4-5 kind of songs.
Oh no, absolutely not.
I mean, even one of the songs we do is the suite, their Italian restaurant.
You do it? Yeah, I saw on YouTube you did that. Yeah, that's so tough. Just the that part.
It's pretty complicated, and once in a while we do Angry Young Man with the preamble, the prelude in front, which is really very involved.
You know? I never understood how he even did that.
And that's how talented Billy is. You know, he's just phenomenal. So
phenomenal.
What I was saying was the band had to be up to that challenge. And the thing is, we have two keyboard players.
Oh.
I'm one of them.
Right.
And we have a very talented gentleman that's been in the band for 7 years. His name is Kenny Landrum, and he's played with tons of people. He's been on tour with Robert Palmer,
sure,
Harry Belafonte, and a number of people across the board. So I was lucky enough to be introduced to him when he was, you know, wasn't doing much touring work, and he's situated close enough to me to where we got together, and we got a great camaraderie between me and him. We know each other's, you know, quirks and how, where to play and where not to play, and it's kind of a family thing. It's really cool. And what I basically do with Billy's songs is I try to concentrate very first on getting the vocals down perfectly and the lyrics, because there's a ton of lyrics.
Yeah.
And that affords me, you know, having Kenny there affords me to entertain the audience a bit, because, you know, that's part of my job, too.
Because he's such a great entertainer, too. Yeah. You want to emulate that. Yeah.
I play keyboards. I get to move around the stage a bit. I play a little organ. I play a little guitar.
Oh, wow.
And Kenny's such a good keyboard player. He's kind of the anchor there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this gentleman from Long Island named Andrew Sigali, who is a horn, saxophone, and all kinds of horns. He's a teacher. And he's actually taught some students that have developed into, like, actual top-flight orchestras, students of his. And Andy plays all the saxes, flute, trumpet, harmonica, what else? Oboe, bassoon. I mean, the guy's all over the place. Anything that you can blow into, he plays it, and he plays it well. And he's one of the other features. He's been with me the whole time. And he's a trooper. I mean, he's the furthest away, and he's traveled 4 or 5 hours one way just to get to the gig. It's a credit that I'm even with these guys.
You're hearing a beep in the background. I'm getting a scam call. Of course, I have to get one of these telemarketer calls asking me if my extended warranty is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I get those
God.
every night. I get one or two of those.
Oh, they hung up. Good. Yeah, I mean, again, when you're doing a tribute to this guy, I consider him and Elton the most prolific of our time. I mean, and now, are you with Elton on this tour? I was a little confused. Are you doing an Elton tribute, almost like a face-to-face tour with an Elton tribute?
Yeah, Friday, April 1st at the Park Theater in Glens Falls.
Right.
Is with, it's our second show with Bill Connors, who is the ultimate Elton tribute, I think. And he goes by American Elton. That's his handle.
Okay.
And his name is Bill Connors. You can find him on Facebook. But he's pretty phenomenal. He's got all the costumes. He's a good piano player. I mean, he's fun. He's, you know, he engages the audience. So we're a good team that way.
That's the beauty of your act. You don't have to have a million costumes. Billy just came out with, like, a black sport jacket, and that's it, right?
That's it. That's what I wear.
You know, he was always criticized as being, for want of a better term, like a derivative artist. Like, he's always, like, emulating the 60s or Frankie Valli or that type of thing when he did that album. Do you agree with that? That he took a lot of flack for that he's not inventive and...
Well, I don't agree with that. I think,
don't either.
I think in being inventive, just the Piano Man album, he covers about 7 different musical genres right there.
Yeah.
And he puts his own twist on those genres with his great lyrics. I think his lyrics are phenomenally clever and insightful. He doesn't get enough credit as a singer, because he's an amazing singer with an amazing range.
And I've heard him say he's not that good of a singer. Yeah, I know.
Well,
oh, he is.
You know, he doesn't brag. That's one thing. He's a New Yorker. He doesn't brag about himself. He's
right.
He's kind of self-effacing. You know, and he has a great sense of humor about it. I think that the first. I mean, I'm a big fan of the first two albums, that Piano Man and Street Life Serenade. I think is a very underrated record. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh,
one.
Oh yeah, I got them all. Yeah.
Yep. Every singer, every especially songwriter, takes their influences and wraps them around and makes them personal. You know.
Exactly. Everybody have taken something. Like, look at the Beatles. I mean, they took from a lot of different places. They even admit it. Paul McCartney admits it.
Yeah, they were in love with the blues and mostly American music.
Sure. How else do you learn when in the beginning you have to emulate somebody, right?
Yeah, and then you run from there.
What song that never became a hit for Billy Joel do you scratch your head and go, God, how come it never made it? I mean, is there a song that sticks out that you play that was never really one of his hits? Or do you stick to the real strict hits?
Well, I'm a fan of a lot of the lesser-known songs that people kind of, they play it, but they pass it by. It's not, a top 10 hit.
Right.
You know, and there's a few that stick out to me that I thought could have gotten a better take. And one of them is a song called State of Grace.
That's a great song, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and that never made it. Yeah, that's right.
I mentioned Street Life Serenader, but that's the title song. That Street Life Serenader is, I think, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple more on that album. Last of the Big Time Spenders.
Yep.
I mean, you know, because it's such good piano on those things.
It's frustrating for me on this podcast because on a podcast, you can't play any copyrighted music. So here I'm doing a music podcast and I can't play anything. I'd love to play clips. I'd love to play clips of you, but they're pretty strict about it.
Yeah.
How about the song? We could go on and on. I loved Everybody Loves You Now. Like, I think that was on Cold Spring Harbor. That's such a dynamite song. I crank that song up all the time.
We do She's Got a Way, which I love.
That's
the little ballad there.
Sure.
Yeah, I do that solo. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't do much solo without the rest of the band, but that's one of them anyway.
Now tell me in this show that you play the root beer rag.
No, we don't.
No. Can you play that?
I would
all
love
the way through?
To. Why don't you come up and play it with us?
I have my keyboard plugged right into the board here, and I can't play. I was going to play a little bit for you, and here I can't. Because of this stupid copyright thing. Darn it.
Maybe you can do I think you can probably get away with, 12 notes?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the actual rule is. And actually, not getting too legal here, but do you have to get any kind of permission?
It just doesn't make sense for someone at his level to bother. And he actually likes the fact that other people are doing his music because it keeps his music out there.
Yeah, no, there's two ways of looking at it, exactly.
Because he's not making any new albums. He hasn't made a new album since 1993.
Right.
So it's, you know the story about Big Shot?
The song Big Shot? No.
No, the band Big Shot.
Oh, the band? No, I don't know that, no.
They were the first Billy Joel tribute. They've been around the longest, and the actual singer from that tribute band is in Billy's band now.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. And
that shows you what kind of guy he is. He's just like, the guy, the singer from the Big Shot band, his name is Michael Del Judas,
mm-hmm.
and he's a songwriter in his own right, and he's a very good one. I've talked to him quite a few times. But it's something because the band Big Shot, there's actually three members of Billy's band in that band. So it's pretty incredible. And the thing is, they don't work. Before the virus came, we all had a ton of work. And then 2020, we all got hit really bad. Everything getting canceled. So. They never came back as strong as they were before. So I don't know what direction they're headed, but that shows you the strength of Billy's music. I mean, there's four or five different very good tributes out there just to his music.
And here's
the thing is, they don't look like him. So it's not a complete show to me.
And there's another irony is that I had just finished the audiobook for Liberty DeVito, his his autobiography, which is just fascinating if you haven't listened to it yet. And he tells the whole story of his fallout with Billy Joel and that type of thing. But what's interesting, and they've made amends since, but what's interesting is that Liberty DeVito is in that, what is it called, the Lords of 52nd Street?
That's one of the bands that we compete with, yep.
Okay. So he's in a band playing Billy Joel's music anyway. So it was all kind right. of incestuous.
Yeah.
Right?
And some of his members are former members of Billy's
yeah.
band way back. It's like an alumnus, you know?
That's right. Can you hear bits and pieces of classical music within his rock music?
Oh, God, yeah.
You definitely can.
Many of the songs. You know that. Yeah, there's a lot of classical overtones and bits and pieces that he seemed to take from his youth when he was a Beethoven, real Beethoven follower.
Yeah. You know,
and he probably learned all of his material. So it leaks into a lot of the songs.
I mean, he's classically trained. Elton's classically trained. You're classically trained.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of all starts from there.
Yeah.
The only thing I can't handle is I can't play jazz.
Huh.
That's a whole lifetime. I mean, you've got to be dedicated, to really dedicated. The guys in my band are that kind of level, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, but they're not, they can't, you know, they can't do what I do as far as vocal and, you know, frontman kind of stuff. So it's a good mix of guys.
And just to show you what a genius he really is. I mean, remember he wrote a classical album. He wrote all the music, and he said he couldn't play it. So he got that other artist. I can't think of his name.
I heard. I don't know who the artist is either, but I know that he had someone else record all of it.
Yeah, he wrote the music and couldn't even play it. It was so intricate that he couldn't play it. You know, he's such an interesting guy. It really is. Are the audiences? Do you feel that the audiences are picky? If it was an audience full of musicians, they'd be pains in the neck listening to everything and picking on everything, probably, right?
We're blessed. Our audiences so far that we've encountered have all been amazingly receptive and friendly, and just we are blessed to have these people come to see us.
That's great. So there's no aggravation at the end saying you didn't sound like him or whatever. No.
Once in a while, I get it's a running joke with the band. You didn't play Uptown Girl.
Okay.
We never played it, and you know we're not big fans. It's one of my least favorites. But if we get enough call for it, we will learn the song.
Okay. How about We Didn't Start the Fire? Do you go through that whole thing? That's a long song.
Well, we had it as part of a medley because if you do the whole song, you've got to have the greatest memory or a teleprompter, which Billy has.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that.
Yes.
He does have a, I think, not even a teleprompter. I see like a book, like a notebook laying on the piano. Did you see that?
I think that might be for some, like he does a lot of requests. He'll pit one song against the other. And then whenever somebody, last 2 weeks ago, he did a dedication to Gary Brooker from Procol Harum, who just passed.
Mm-hmm.
And because Procol Harum was one of his big influences too, because they had classical undertones in a lot of their songs. So, you know, so they did White as Shade of Pale and a few others, I think. And he dedicates a lot of, like when somebody's not on tour anymore or passes away, he's got a lot of respect for somebody like Joe Cocker. And they did some Joe Cocker when he passed. You know, he'll do some stuff that's not very well rehearsed and just slam it out there, you know.
And he actually does great impressions. You ever see him do Joe Cocker?
Yes.
Yeah. He's really good at it, yeah. Or he's done Ray Charles. He's just so multi-talented. Well, it's really interesting. And so you really haven't had a chance to practice much with the Elton John tribute act. It's just going to... You're just kind of putting the two shows together. They do what they do, and you do what you do? Or is it like...
Well, actually, it's our band backing up Bill Connors.
Oh, okay. It's the same band, right?
Yeah. We do more of a face-to-face, like when Billy and Elton went on tour.
Yeah. Yeah, they were here. That was fantastic. What was really fantastic about that, they had the cameras right above them, so you could watch their keyboards the whole time. Oh, that was in my glory. I couldn't get enough of that show.
Yeah, and then they do a few of each other's songs, which we're kind of doing that now with the Elton tribute.
Who would you say, and this is a tough one, I don't even expect you to answer, who do you think is the most skillful player? Who's more skillful, Billy or Elton?
Ooh, well, I don't know. I mean, I can't say. I mean, they have similar styles, but they all have their own thing that they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
I think Billy may be better at the blues and improvisation. I think Elton's influences ranged more in like Leon Russell and
yeah.
I couldn't say who was a better keyboard player if you're asking that. I don't think there's a level that's one guy is better than the other.
I think it's an unfair question. And I don't know why I even
probably.
Asked it.
I mean, if somebody wanted to, you know, you just got to, I think at that level, you just pick your favorite.
Exactly. And that would be a tough one on my part, too, as well. I just absolutely love them both. I looked at your autobiography. And I think you're being a little modest about your background. You earned 2 honorable mentions in Billboard's songwriting contest?
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're pretty far apart, the years that it's happened. So,
huh.
I mean, I actually think I'm writing better songs now than I ever did. It's pretty weird, but they're still coming. So, you know, I'm on Bandcamp now under Johnny Kaz, if anybody wants to investigate that.
Oh, great. Well, there's another question. Do you think playing all these Billy Joel songs kind of through osmosis, when you sit down to try to write a song, do you feel a little Billy Joel influence?
Yes.
So it may have helped you.
I'm a better keyboard player and a better singer than I was before I started this band. So that's a big plus for me.
But do you start slapping your hand when you play and you go, oh, my God, that's a Billy Joel chord? I mean,
not quite, but I see what you're saying.
Right, right. Because I've tried to write my own. I have always written song parodies. I was on the air here for 30 years, and I had a keyboard right on the air. And whatever was going on in the news, I would have a song about it. But whenever I tried to write an original song, I go, that's me being Billy Joel. And I would stop. Or that's me being Elton John. I would pick on myself.
Yeah, don't stop. Don't even go there. Just let it flow through you, because you know you're going to come out with something good.
Yeah. Well, I'm 68 and I haven't come out with anything good. I'm still waiting for it to kick in, you know. Now, you've written commercial jingles as well. I've done some jingles in this area. You did something for Toyota?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my friend still has it, actually. He had a studio on Madison Avenue, and him and a partner, they were doing tons of TV and radio ads. Yeah, just long story short, it worked out. You know, the guy loved the Christmas jingle that I made, and it actually got aired on WFAN.
Wow,
it was fun to actually hear my stuff on that station.
Yeah, and your wife and you have done children's CDs?
Yeah, we have something called Sugar Goose and Friends.
Okay.
And it's stories that my wife wrote, and then I put some music to the lyrics that she gave me, and we made a CD. It's about 10 songs and 10 stories for kids. And, you know, I tried to push it, but we only got so far with it, and it was on CD, so now who knows? I mean, maybe we can still sell song files, but it's really cool. It gives kids lessons about tolerance and there's one that promotes exercise, and it's really uplifting for kids. And my wife's a pretty talented writer, so I put the music behind it, and you know, Sugar Goose and Friends. It's a lot of fun if anybody's interested.
Sure, I'll put the link on all these things.
I appreciate you going back and checking out what I had going on my little resume.
You weren't bragging enough about yourself here. And you taught piano and bass. I'll keep going about your resume here. You taught piano and bass at East Coast Music in Danbury, Connecticut. You were teaching as well?
Yes, I'd go there about 3 times a week after my regular job, and I had at one point about 16 students, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was nice seeing some of the students that stayed with me a while. It was nice seeing how they developed over the weeks and the months. You know, it just was kind of rewarding that way.
What do you mean you'd go after your regular job? What was your regular job?
I'm sorry to say, I was a postal worker.
No kidding. Hey, you got a good retirement, though.
That I did. But it was not what I had planned out for my career.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, very interesting career. Well, everybody can't wait to see you up here. So, wait a minute. You're going to be here Friday night, right?
Yeah. Friday night, Park Theater. We love upstate New York. It's treated us well, and we want to continue to we've got a good agent now that knows the area. He can get us from Glens Falls to Albany all the way up to Buffalo. So we're hoping to hit the whole state.
And I looked ahead. You're coming back to, I believe it's Water Valete?
It's actually the Elks Club there. And
yeah, I
know. Eric Chevy is a good friend of ours, and he invited us back. We played there last year, and he's invited us back this year. So we're only glad to do it.
Well, that's great. I got to catch your act. I really do. Oh, is that going to be open to the public there? Or is that a private thing?
It's the Elks Club, but if you wanted to come, you just let me know and I'll get you in the door.
Yeah,
in fact, Friday night, if you want to come Friday night, if you're not busy, we have access to a few extra patrons, a few extra tickets.
Let me find out. I have relatives coming in here from New Mexico. They're flying in tonight, actually, to see if they're interested in doing it. But if they are, I have 15 people coming in. No, I'm just kidding. I know the whole deal of people squandering for backstage passes.
We'll slip them in the back door one by one.
Yeah. There's actually a very interesting chapter in Liberty DeVito's book about this crazy guy who was bothering for backstage passes and became like a rabid fan, you know, a listener who wouldn't stop bothering him. Kept sending him flowers.
A stalker.
I couldn't think of the name Stalker. Yeah, that was it. Stalker. I just blanked out there. I told you I'm 68. I just blanked out. Stalker. They would send him flowers.
Senior moment.
That was a senior moment. I'll be cutting that out. The guy was sending him high, you know, really nice brands of scotch and flowers, and they kept saying, no, we can't get you in to, you know, the show where there's no backstage passes. And the guy flew out to wherever they were, and he insisted on being there. And oh man, the guy was crazy. You know, the audio book is really great.
I hope that guy comes to the show. I could use a stalker.
You could use some of the whiskey, right? Well, John, it's really good talking to you, and good luck with the show.
Thank you, Richie. I appreciate your time.
There you go. That's the River of Dreams tribute show, and I see on their website they're, of course, in Glens Falls. They're going to be in West Kingston, Rhode Island, East Chester, New York, Hurleyville, New York, which I never heard of, Deep River, Connecticut. And I know he is coming to Water Valete, New York, which is in our area here. But I don't see the date on that one. Let's see. Nope. Don't see it. But I'm sure it'll be up here when he's ready to announce it. And that's the riveroftribute.com. That's his website. I was so mad that I got interrupted by that telemarketer. It happens at the most inopportune times, doesn't it? It's incredible. In fact, I wrote a response, and I'm going to end my podcast with this. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to it. I'd appreciate it. If you can leave a comment, I would appreciate it. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's wherever you get your podcasts. I basically have this posted on almost every one of those platforms. So just look for Top Talent Richie is the best way to look for it. Thanks again, and see you next time on Top Talent. We were sitting down for dinner, enjoying everything. And as I took my first bite, my phone began to ring. Put down my fork and knife and grabbed the iPhone in my hand. And then we traded pleasantries, which is something I can't stand. The woman started blabbing quite incessantly. I wanted to hang up real fast, but she sweet-talked me. She dug for information and said conclusively, your car's a desperate need of an extended warranty. Warranty, warranty.
Warranty.
She tried to sell me an extended warranty.
Warranty.
Can I have your make and model? I responded forcefully. You should know that answer. You reached out to me. If you don't have the info, then it's hard for me to see. How do you know my car needs an extended warranty? Warranty, warranty.
Warranty.
How do you know my car needs an extended warranty? I was proud of my usage of reverse psychology. Thought that would end the problem, and she'd stop bothering me. My meal was getting colder, and I wished her good day. That makes it sound so easy, but there's more she had to say.
Press 1 now.
She said, thank you for your time,
But before you're off the phone, I have a way for you to repay your delinquent college loan. I said, nice try, but I paid mine in 1973. Get off the phone. I don't need your loan or extended warranty. Warranty. Warranty.
Warranty.
I don't need your extended warranty.
Press 1 now if you wish to extend your car's warranty.
And I'm recording this call for quality assurance. How about that?
Top Talent. This is my podcast, Top Talent.